Well, the whole point of PG&E's power shutoffs is to prevent any accidents that could spark a wildfire. But now, with reports emerging that a piece of PG&E equipment malfunctioned near the source of the Kincade fire and possibly has come out of this, it appears that the effort didn't work. For more on this revelation, how it may change the utility's handling of safety power shutoffs in the future, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Michael Wara, Senior Research Scholar at the Woods Institute for Environment at Stanford University. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. So we've not confirmed with certainty that PG&E equipment was indeed the source of the fire, but could this possibly impact the utility's handling of future shutoffs?
I think so. What we do know is that a piece of equipment called a jumper failed on one of their 230,000 volt towers, and that failure occurred pretty much in the same spot as the ignition point of the fire. And at the same time, as the ignition point, as the fire ignited. And that's a very large transmission tower. That's kind of part of the backbone infrastructure of PG&E's grid. And to date, in their power shutoffs, they haven't really been shutting off that backbone infrastructure because they thought it was safe. And what this incident indicates is that maybe it isn't safe. That tower had apparently been inspected multiple times by PG&E personnel, including, you know, inspections where they climbed up the tower and looked at the infrastructure, looked at the equipment, and it still failed, apparently. So I think that may lead PG&E to want to shut off those kinds of towers in high-risk areas during the dangerous times, and that would really increase the kind of scope, the breadth of the impacts, even beyond what we're seeing right now. You know, what might start to happen more is that more areas adjacent to the high wind areas would have to be turned off during blackouts because the grid stability would be compromised.
Okay, so we've got a couple things here that I want to try and take apart. You said that they climbed, these are the areas where PG&E climbs up, inspects them. Do we know for a fact that they did climb up there and inspect this particular transmission tower?
They stated that they had, and in general, they stated in multiple filings to the PUC that they had climbed all of their transmission towers. And especially given that this is one of the higher voltage pieces of the system, that it's located in one of the higher risk areas, and then it connects a critical piece of infrastructure, the geysers geothermal power plant, to the grid, I think it's likely that it was climbed, possibly inspected multiple times. So that indicates that maybe we're missing things. We're not inspecting in the right way, or PG&E is not inspecting in the right way to diagnose, you know, vulnerable pieces of their system. And that's particularly concerning.
Right, because, I mean, it might look okay right then, but I don't know what their criteria is. But if it could be too fragile to withstand the wind, I would think that they would have to turn that off.
That's right. And that's going to have, and I think it's, you know, what's particularly significant is that, you know, these higher voltage lines are kind of like, they're, you know, I don't know what the best metaphor maybe is, like a spider web. The grid is like a spider web, and these high voltage lines are kind of the thick radial parts of the spider web that go out from the center and that really support the weight of the system. And without them, you know, the system is really weakened and you start to see larger impacts from these grid outages, you know, even than we've already experienced. And of course, what we've already experienced, many people view as untenable.
It's a really difficult line that they have to walk here because, you know, obviously the vulnerability could lead to disaster. On the other hand, as you say, it upsets people when large swaths are turned off. A lot of people think, well, what's the point? We're not even near the fire.
Yes, and I think it's very hard for people to understand why they are impacted when, you know, they may not even live in an area where it's windy. It's also hard to explain because, you know, you're explaining the absence of something, right? After the big blackout from a few weeks ago, PG&E indicated that it had, you know, more than 100 instances of either damage to conductors or tree limbs on conductors. Those are the kinds of things that cause fires. And had those fires ignited, during the time when the system was turned off, you could have seen a fire like the Kincaid fire, or many, many fires like the Kincaid fire. But because those fires don't occur, it's hard for residents to understand that they're getting a benefit. And I think the real solution here is, in the long run, for PG&E to fix its system so it's more resistant to wind. And in the short run, for everyone, communities, residents, and the state to start to take action to get backup power solutions in place so that we are more able to ride out these blackouts with less disruption.
Let me ask you one more thing. The governor in his news conference this afternoon went after PG&E hard. He said it's greed, years and years of greed that brought us to this, that caused this, because the greed, you know, led to PG&E not making the repairs and hardening the lines as they should have.
I think that may be part of the story. I think another part of the story is that no one recognized the risk. As recently as 2012, in rulemaking around the rules that govern the safety of overhead lines in California, the Public Utility Commission concluded that there wasn't a large risk of utility-caused fires during red flag events. They thought that there was in San Diego and perhaps in other parts of Southern California, but not in Central and Northern California. So PG&E missed this risk. I think, you know, I think it's safe to say that investors in PG&E stock have not made out well over the last couple of years. The stock has gone from $70 to, I don't know what it's trading at right now, but earlier today it was trading at $5 and change. So it's a risk that was missed by multiple parties, including the utilities management, and they are responsible, but also by the state and the regulators of the utilities.
Thank you very much for talking to us. We appreciate it. That is Michael Wara, Senior Research Scholar at the Woods Institute for Environment at Stanford University.